It's work we've done in Philadelphia. I have several collaborators on this project, but before I tell you about them, I want to make a formal disclosure. Funding for this project was made possible by a cooperative agreement with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Philadelphia's Health Department Get Health Philly initiative. They want me to make sure you know that the opinions expressed today are not reflective of anything the government has said or supports in any way at all, ever. Okay, so that having been said, I'd like to acknowledge the work of others involved in this project. A great large team worked on this, and we're excited to share the results with you. I'll go quickly over the background, the methods we employed, and the results from our study, focusing on just defining healthy foods because we had many things to share. And some next steps. So the purpose of this work, the City of Philadelphia has a program where they're engaging supermarket retailers, owners, and chains in trying to help them provide healthy opportunities for folks in their communities. Their mission was to get supermarkets on board and make a difference. But before they did that, they wanted to talk to community members to get a sense of what was happening in the community and what community folks wanted to see the supermarkets do. So we worked with women or men who were raising children under the age of 18. Sometimes grandparents were part of the study. The protocol was adapted from ACORN, a project in Little Rock, Arkansas, with input from the Department of Health in Philadelphia, Penn Center for Public Health Initiatives, and the Mixed Methods Research Lab, which is a group of qualitative methodologists that work with folks across the university and across the city, adding a qualitative lens to the work we do. We developed a semi-structured focus group guide, and we really wanted folks to share with us their understanding of what was in the way of them providing healthy options for their family and how they shop. We had IRB approval from the University of Pennsylvania and the City of Philadelphia, which isn't so easy. So we conducted 8 focus groups with community partners, Congreso de Latinos Unidos, which is a well-established organization in the City of Philadelphia that has lots of connections with folks in the community, and the Enterprise Center, also very well entrenched. They helped us connect with consumers and bring people into these focus groups. We conducted them at 3 different locations. We were doing the best we could to engage as many folks as possible, and we knew location mattered. In the end, we had 76 participants. We conducted some demographic surveys, and we asked some questions about shopping habits, and we also had some survey questions that addressed issues of supermarket exposure to tobacco products. So we did focus groups, and we also did walking interviews, and I shared the walking interview results yesterday at a different talk, but together we learned a lot from this population. Again, the recruitment was an important part of this, and one of the things that worked really well in our recruitment strategy is we told potential participants that we were working with them and for them, and our mission was to bring their voice to the ears of the supermarket owners in their communities. And this was something that made a huge difference in terms of bringing people to the table and really helping them want to be there and be part of this. They were quite engaged with the whole process and the whole study and very interested in the findings and the results, and we've shared that with community members and participants so far. So again, the focus groups were recorded, they were transcribed verbatim, and we were able to cut the data by participant. And what I mean by that is we used some technology called Live Scribe, which is this fancy little magic pen that actually allows you to sync audio to notes taken during a focus group or any event. Students, if you do some teaching, many students have this in class. We pulled that in for these focus groups so we could keep track of which participant was saying what, so when we were done with all the focus groups, we were able to go back and sort of recreate and assess priorities based on different participants. So we could say, hey, what did all the men say, even though they weren't all around the same table? What did all the women say? What did all the grandparents raising children say? And it really allowed us to look at these data in a very thorough and comprehensive way. The data was entered into an in vivo database. We developed a code book with input from experts in this area. I'm not a content expert in food or nutrition, but I am the methodologist, and having everybody kind of engaged in the development of the analysis process is really what makes this work kind of rich. We double-coded half of the transcripts that we used. This is just a brief overview of the demographics. You can see that ages ranged from 18 to 61, that the number of children at home ranged quite a bit. We had four people that had no children residing in their home, but they were responsible for feeding children of their children, or nephews or nieces or family members. So they were providing at least one or two meals per day for those other folks. We had a fair amount of men in our population based on the demographics of who's shopping, predominantly an African-American group, ethnicity. We had some Latinos. We did conduct one focus group in Spanish, and marital status varied across the population. So we analyzed these data, and we came up with the following themes. People wanted to talk a lot about how they made food choices. They wanted to talk about price and merchant allegiance. These were important to them. The supermarket setting in general, the layout of the store. They talked about learning and knowing how to eat healthy and where that information came from and how they make decisions based on sort of that background. Family and cultural influences were an important theme that came to the top. They talked about opportunities and challenges for doing what it is they'd like to do, knowing whether they how to feed their family and what gets in the way of doing that, and they had great suggestions for the supermarket owners that we were committed to sharing with the city of Philadelphia and the supermarket owners. And we're going to focus today on how folks defined healthy food and how that really is related to where they live. The context was really quite relevant to this definition. So when defining or describing healthy foods, respondents mentioned many things. They talked about certain items that were healthy. They talked about habits surrounding healthy and unhealthy eating, and they certainly talked about cooking in healthy ways and unhealthy ways. They talked a lot about freshness of food and supermarket cleanliness. They talked about the appearance of the store staff, the smell of the supermarket, smell of rotting meat, pesticides, excessive cleaning products came up a lot. Folks had very strong feelings about what it's like to enter a supermarket and be dissuaded by those scents as they walked through. They talked about rodent and pest sightings, and they really mentioned that that had a negative impact on their ability to shop. And we were quite, you know, I guess naive, in fact, stunned when folks started to discuss healthy food and when they talked about why they would choose frozen fruits or vegetables over fresh. It was really because they didn't trust the setting that the fresh fruits and vegetables are in. So they weren't clean. They appreciated that had they been clean and that was a safer, sort of a healthier setting, that they would have been healthier than the canned or frozen options. But in their context, it just wasn't a healthy choice because there's fly strips and rodent droppings and mice sightings. It was pretty sad. So when they talked about which foods they considered healthy, certainly fruits and vegetables and fish came to mind. Folks talked a lot about gluten-free foods. That was sort of a hot topic around the table as we did these focus groups, about low glycemic foods and low sodium foods. Respondents also misidentified healthy options frequently, and you know, when you're doing this work, you're not there to sort of redirect or change or educate, really. You want to learn what's happening. We did provide some nutritional information at the close of the focus group so they could have the facts about this stuff, but many folks did feel that these fruit snacks were a healthy choice, and they sought them out in the supermarket. They also mentioned sweetened iced tea as something that was much better to serve their children than soda, and again, a misunderstanding of what's available and what makes sense. Respondents spoke about habits related to unhealthy eating. Many respondents recognized that snacking was inappropriate or not healthful, that they had limited diets, and if they had a kind of kid that only ate beans and chicken, that was an issue that made it hard to feed them healthy if they were sort of narrow in their focus. They talked about microwavable snacks and how they were quick to prepare and inexpensive to buy, but appreciated that they were not necessarily the healthier choice. Respondents spoke about other habits, so they talked about eating in moderation and the ability to balance a diet and the optimal amount of proteins and carbohydrates and fats. They spoke a lot about avoiding red meat in their shopping practices and when they feed their families. They spoke also about processing and preparing food for their family. So they recognized that frying was not the best approach. They talked a lot about salting foods and how there were cultural inclinations to use a lot of salt in preparations or salt-like products. They talked about processed and frozen foods and canned foods and out-of-the-box ingredients. So a real understanding that they had some power over taking the food from the supermarket and providing a healthy meal based on what they did in the kitchen in terms of preparation. Many respondents recognized healthy cooking alternatives. They talked about changing from frying to steaming, and they talked about herbs as an option over salt to kind of spice foods up, and they talked about cooking from scratch and not using packaged and pre-prepared foods. They also talked about trying very hard to unlearn the lessons that they had acquired earlier in life and how that was a barrier to kind of getting this done well, and they were looking for opportunities to support their ability to do a better job in feeding their families. Yeah, not fried. I think I bake more and steam more. I cut out the fried shrimp and the fried fish, and it's really the way you prepare the food and your seasonings and herbs and spices and less salt. So folks talked a lot about salt around these tables. We didn't have any explicit questions about sodium or salt or other issues. We wanted to see what came to the surface. We really let this question sit there pretty open to see what priorities came to mind for folks. Respondents didn't necessarily always agree on what was healthy and what wasn't healthy, and there was sort of an array and opinion about how cooked meat should be, whether it be well done or quite rare. So fresh meat like steak, I know a lot of people like well done steak, but I like it at the point that it's just like eating rubber because you're not getting any vitamins and nutrients from it. I'll do a medium well, so it's slightly pink, so I'm still getting some of the nutrients. So to me, healthy food is anything that provides the proper vitamins and nutrients that your body needs. So there were great, rich, important collaborative discussions around what you can do to food that might actually deteriorate its ability to provide a nutritional environment for your kids. They talked very clearly and eloquently about the barriers in their neighborhoods, in the settings that they lived in, around what was between providing healthy, what was between them getting through the supermarket and getting healthy food out the door. And again, this issue of cleanliness, mouse traps, fly paper was something that was really important to these folks. And it really was the primary concern in the communities that we were speaking to folks in. I haven't had a problem with that supermarket. Everything's been clean. I look for that because that's what turned me off, the smell, the people working there, and how they were working, and the produce and everything. And this sparked great, rich conversations about cleanliness in general. Freshness, I'm really big on fresh fruits. Me and my daughter, we love fresh fruits, so I like to get apples and oranges and things like that. The vegetables I try, and I try not to get the canned stuff because they're just not as good for you. I don't shop there anymore because of the expiration dates. There were great stories that folks shared about certain supermarkets where everything was expired, or they had witnessed folks covering up old expiration dates with newer ones and still putting the products out there, taking stuff home that was expired and not finding out till they opened the package that it smelled rancid. Learning and knowing how to eat, folks spoke a lot about culture, community, family, and how they learned from magazines and sort of diet ads around what's appropriate to eat. They've had also talked about exposure to nutritionists and other medical professionals and information that trickled up to moms and dads from schools. So they were learning from their children some healthy options that really bubbled up when they got home. They talked about their doctor providing them paper, written information, and they talked about water versus soda a lot and where they learned that. And that was definitely from healthcare providers or from the school system. You know, my 17-year-old, when she was in high school last year, her teacher was teaching her, like, sugars are bad. And I thought sugar was okay if you don't have too much. I thought rice and stuff was okay if you don't have too much. But she doesn't want all that now, you know, because she learned something at school and she brought it home and the mom changed her mind about it. And she changed her mom's mind about it. So the cultural and family influences were interesting and important. Approximately half the respondents discussed learning most of what they knew about eating from their own parents and grandparents, and approximately half discussed the importance of passing good eating behaviors onto their children. my birth family comes from the South, so it's like this. They eat a lot of stuff, but that's mainly they always talk about fried chicken and stuff like that. So whatever, that's automatic for everyone, how they grew up and how their grandma was doing it. So in summary, respondents really identified a lot of opportunities and challenges that were in their way and really wanted to make sure we shared that information with the supermarket owners and the city. They talked about limited access to good quality food that was clean, fresh, and healthy, and that's how they had to define their healthy food. They talked about feeling that their food shopping choices were limited and that supermarkets in their neighborhoods were not arranged in a manner that promoted healthy shopping and healthy choices. They spoke a lot about unhealthy foods as they walked in and at the checkout. They had concerns related to disparate access to quality and healthy foods, and they shared a belief that basic standards of cleanliness and freshness of food was not adhered to in many of the supermarkets in their communities. And many of our participants had on occasion been to higher end supermarkets and had this contrast around what was available in their setting to what was available to folks in the suburbs and wealthier neighborhoods. Several participants cited cultural and family influences that informed their food choices and their desire to know more about what foods were healthy and how to prepare healthy foods. Price was certainly a limitation and a defining factor in limiting their ability to purchase the things even when they knew they were healthier. And many respondents talked about having a food budget and those challenges about keeping within your budget when it comes to focusing on healthy food. They had great suggestions. They wanted educational programming in the supermarket. They wanted the supermarkets to change their marketing promotion practices to highlight the healthier options in the store. They wanted a change in the organization of the food in the supermarket and its appearance and packaging. They really felt strongly that the supermarkets could do a better job about providing them opportunities in a setting that made sense, that was easy to navigate. They wanted in-store videos that provided them information about how to cook healthy, and they wanted maybe an in-store cooking or shopping coach that could walk them through or someplace where they could go for advice around that. They wanted print materials to really be appropriately targeted at promoting healthy food and healthy food choices. They had lots of great advice about marketing and promotion. They wanted fruits and vegetables to be the things that were on sale. They wanted to see that those were highlighted in the flyers and that healthy foods should become the focal point of the supermarket in all promotional materials. And they had great ideas about how to engage children in healthy eating by having cartoon characters that really promoted fruits and vegetables, because the packaging was so enticing to some kids, and they wanted the supermarkets to borrow the marketing strategies from the cereal companies and from those that pushed unhealthy options on their kids, but employ those same strategies to promote healthy eating and eating of fruits and vegetables. Again, the organization of the store was quite important about what was where and what was on their path as they entered. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them at the end.